The committee investigating the January 6th Capitol insurrection will hold its second hearing of the week tomorrow. This time, lawmakers will explain how Donald Trump and his allies pressured the Department of Justice to help overturn the 2020 election.
Yesterday, we heard from state officials who said they were pressured to undo the results of the election at the local level. Arizona House Speaker, the Republican Rusty Bowers, told the committee that Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, asked him to look into removing Joe Biden's electors.
This is totally foreign as an idea or a theory to me, and I would never do anything of such magnitude without deep consultation with qualified attorneys. And I said, I've got some good attorneys, and I'm going to give you their names. But you're asking me to do something against my oath, and I will not break my oath.
Amy Gardner is national political reporter for The Washington Post. Amy, we heard a lot about a push for these fake alternate electors. Tell us a little more about what we heard.
It was quite remarkable to hear how much pressure state and local officials were under during this period immediately after the 2020 presidential election was called for President Biden. I think that the takeaway for me, even though we knew Rusty Bowers' story, the Arizona House Speaker, as you said, and we knew the story of Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, and even those two election workers from Fulton County, Georgia, where Atlanta is, but seeing them in person on the screen and hearing their stories and hearing how dramatic and traumatic the impact of this pressure was and how it affected their lives was quite remarkable and emotional for those who were watching. And I think that was really one of the biggest takeaways. I mean, the fact that Mr. Bowers described that his grown daughter was actually gravely ill in his home when protesters were showing up at his home with guns on their belts, and his daughter actually passed away just a few weeks later, was quite remarkable. An incredible story.
You mentioned the black mother and daughter who were election workers who, said that they received such threats that they didn't even want to say their names in public. And for Bowers to push back, it's a pretty big deal. It's a man who leads a group of very conservative Republicans in the Arizona legislature.
That's right. I think that you cannot overstate how much political risk he is taking, how much political risk Brad Raffensperger, also a Republican, took by stepping forward and standing up to Trump. And it was kind of amazing. I'm not going to get the exact quote correct, but Bowers described one of the protesters with a gun getting into an argument with his neighbor, who I believe had come to help fend off the protesters from his property that day. And he said something in the hearing yesterday. He said something along the lines of, when I saw the gun, I knew I had to get closer. Mm. And, who says that? The courage, I think, that you saw was really remarkable.
Well, what about then President Trump's involvement? We heard investigators question the Republican National Committee Chair, Rona McDaniel, who said that on a conference call, Trump introduced her to his lawyer, John Eastman, who then spoke about these fake electors. Let's listen.
What did the president say when he called you?
Essentially, he turned the call over to Mr. Eastman, who then proceeded to talk about the importance of the RNC helping the campaign gather these contingent electors in case any of the legal challenges that were ongoing changed the result of any of the dates.
How important is this, Amy? That puts Donald Trump in the room.
It does, and it also puts him at the wheel of the false elector scheme. One of the great sort of vagaries or uncertainties of what we're learning about the false elector scheme is how many people intended from the outset of the scheme being hatched, intended for it to be used to persuade Vice President Pence, then Vice President Pence, count the false electors from the contested states rather than the electors who reflected the popular vote in those states, which of course had gone for Biden. And we've heard from state Republican officials and state level Trump campaign officials saying, no, this was just a contingency plan in the event that we win a lawsuit. We have to have had the electors in place in order to persuade state legislatures to certify our electors rather than Biden's electors. But now a lot of evidence is coming out that the people who hatched this plan were very early on, almost immediately, if not immediately, talking about this plan in the context of using it to persuade Mike Pence to act on January 6th.
Well, just very briefly, I have less than a minute, but tomorrow the focus turns to the Department of Justice. Is that about the attempts to put in a new leader of the Department of Justice just days before the January 6th insurrection?
We believe that there will be a heavy focus on Jeffrey Clark, as you say, who was a mid-level manager in the Department of Justice at the time, and who had made a pitch directly to the White House, directly to the president, that he should make him the leader of the Department of Justice. And you had the acting deputies come in and say, if you do that, I will quit. Right. And that appears to be the thing that prompted Trump not to act. And we're going to hear, I think, a lot more about that those series of events.
It came awfully close. Amy Gardner, national political reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you.
My pleasure.